on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
And it's right on 10:30. We're going to find out what's been happening in the greyhound world the last 7 days and what is coming up the next 7 days. The man who's on the mic humming this morning is Timmy Newbell. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, Sean. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, welcome along to another edition of Going Greyhounds. It's been another busy and big week in greyhound racing, feature races galore all around the country. On today's show, we're going to head to Victoria and chat to George Ferrugia. He's the media manager at the Meadows. He'll review the heats of the Group 1 Maturity Classic from Saturday night. Tom Daly from the all-conquering Daly team, he'll join us to discuss their three winners at the Meadows. And New South Wales trainer John Smart will join us later on the show. Johnny, he prepares an emerging stayer, Cairns Anne, who was impressive winning at Wentworth Park during the week. And she could be a real live chance in the upcoming Nationals. And Johnny's got a good little backstory too, which we might touch on if we have time. As I mentioned, there's been plenty of feature races over the last week. The Grafton Carnival has concluded and for another year. And Bugatti Reign for Jacqueline Davis won the Taylor Family Maiden Classic Final, running 23.42, leading all of the way in the $15,000 to the winner final, defeating Nangar Phantom and Nangar Fever. As I said, 23.42, the time recorded. One of the roughies in the race went out around the 15 to 20 to 1 mark, Bugatti Reign, to take the feature. The time-honoured Group 2 McKenna Memorial was run at Sandown Park on Thursday night, and Tornado Tears, well, he went out a skinny favourite, but his winning streak came to an end. Could only manage fifth after being strung up in traffic in the early and mid part. And it was Out of Range who claimed the big one. He's third at group level. He won the Group 1 Silver Chief and the National Derby earlier on in the year over the 500 metres. And he has now won a Group 2 race over the middle journey at 5.95 at Sandown Park. He's won almost $300,000 in prize money. He led throughout in 34 and 23. And at Albion Park on Thursday night, the Greyhound Racing State of Origin series was run and won. And, well, we might have won the rugby league version, but the Queenslanders hit back to take the Greyhound series 2-1. They won the sprint with Jury for Tony Brett. The staying event for with Double G. And New South Wales hit back, winning the match race with Mr. Bellucci, and thank God for that. I think Coach Terry Hill and the selectors, and on one of those, we might survive another year. It's been a fantastic concept, the State of Origin. There was a really good crowd in attendance. I was lucky enough to be in Brisbane for a couple of days last week and went to the Origin, the football match, and then to the Greyhound meeting on the Thursday night. Huge crowd. All of the big wigs of Racing Queensland were in attendance as well as the Racing Minister. So well done to everyone involved with that series up there, Luke Gatehouse and all of the team. And just quickly, we'll touch on some positive news here in New South Wales, which came out mid last week. The New South Wales government have announced they will fund a $700,000 upgrade to the Gosford Greyhound track. The project will include remediation of the track, installation of a new safety rail, an upgraded irrigation system, and a new motor lure. So great news for people on the Central Coast and here in New South Wales, because Gosford has been out of play for a number of months now, and we should be back up and racing there in the not-too-distant future. Fantastic news for greyhound racing here in New South Wales, and hopefully we'll have some more positive news in the next few weeks as well. Now, joining us online is George Ferrugia, the media manager at the Meadows in Victoria. George, tremendous night of racing down there on Saturday night with 12 heats of the Group 1 Maturity Classic, the best young greyhounds in the land going around.
Yeah, Tim, good morning, mate. Yeah, look, it was good to have group racing back at the Meadows. It's been a little while, of course, after Australian Cup Carnival in March, and now we've got two big group races going ahead, of course, with the Destiny Fireball for the Stayers next week and the semi-finals of the Maturity. And yeah, as he said, we've seen some awesome performances on Saturday, probably highlighted by Dinah Patty in 29.75, and a greyhound that you'd know a lot about, the Alla Enchanted, running her down to three quarters of a length. It was clearly the race of the night, and those two greyhounds, well, they've already done a lot in their careers, and I think they're in for a big 6 to 12 months.
It was a tremendous race. Dinah Patty strode to the lead, and as you mentioned, we know Alla Enchanted here in New South Wales really well. Now, she's as strong as a bull. She's run 29.48 at Woolworth Park, the quickest run all year at the track. She's now down in Victoria, but when she did run that quick time, her run home time at Woolworth Park was 11.49, which is unbelievable. They just don't come home that quick at Woolworth Park. And when she got into second position down the back straight, I thought, oh, she'll be too strong. But Dinah Patty really lifted. And when you're running those figures in front, it is hard to get run down.
Well, I mean, just as a guide at the Meadows, I mean, Dinah Patty did run home in 12.05, which is really, really solid. And so you can imagine what Alla Enchanted ran home in, because she probably gave her about four lengths down the back, and to run her down to three quarters of a length. So we were taking photos down there, and her new trainer, Jamie Ennis, suggested to me that she'd probably be one of the leading 600-metre bitches in a few months' time, Alla Enchanted, if she keeps that up. It was a terrific run. I thought Dinah Patty was always going to be hard to beat, especially when she began well. Tim, she was around the $2.50 mark, but certainly there was some money for Alla Enchanted, and they were clearly the fastest times of the night, those two finishing first and second.
Brooke and Jamie Ennis enjoyed a good night, taking the opening two heats. Barunga Brett in 29.89 and Trit Trit in 29.92.
Yeah, well, Barunga Brett's been a pretty handy youngster for a little while, and he took the step up despite drawing box four. I thought his run was really good. And the other run, Trit Trit, I mean, he sat behind Black Forge, another greyhound who's got fantastic Wentworth Park form, who I thought was going to be pretty hard to beat. I really liked his Bendigo Cup run where he ran second, Tim. And Trit Trit, again, he's just such a strong greyhound that he was just going to power to the line. Brooke and Jamie have got four into the semi-finals, so that'll be really interesting to see how many they can get through to the final. They've got a very, very good team going around at the moment. Another greyhound called Belt Up Bubs, who's a youngster by their former gun chaser in My Bro Fabio, who was a good placing as well on Saturday night. So, yeah, good effort by Brooke and Jamie. And, of course, the Daily Camp coming home with three winners, all consecutive as well on the night, including Aeroplane India, who was probably the big shock result, defeating My Redeemer, who's been such a terrific greyhound for a long time. I thought he had her down the back, Timmy. Was only about a length behind her, but she really gutsed it out to win in 30.01. Their other winner was Dinah Zesty, who won race nine. So a really good night for the Daily Camp as well.
Yeah, just on My Redeemer, the shock of the night. With he started $1.30. When he got into second position, down the back, I thought, oh, he'll be too strong. On face value, he did seem to be disappointing. Did you think that way?
Yeah, absolutely. When you consider he ran 30.08 himself, I mean, it's certainly, you know, not ridiculously slow or anything, but we all know his capabilities. He's a, you know, 29.80 dog at the Meadows for sure. And, you know, I briefly had a chat to Dave. I think Dave was a little disappointed in the run too. Dave Gill, of course, his trainer, and he's just a little bit concerned with the greyhound in terms of some of the big whacks he's been getting. He's been in some pretty big checks. He had one at Horsham when he won and then copped it again at Sandown in his last start, where he got into all sorts of interference. So he said he checked off Aeroplane Indy's heels a few times, but he clearly can do a little bit better. He's come up with an awkward box draw in the semi-final too, so he's going to have to be at his best. He's got box six in a semi-final that also has Dinah Patty, Hasten Slowly, Belt Up Bubs, Kinlock Moss, Blue Hunter. That's a really, really hard semi-final. So My Redeemer, there's probably no rest for him, Tim, to be honest. He's got box six. And look, at his best, he's clearly one of the greyhounds to beat in the series. But you're right. I mean, I think we expected him, once he lobbed second, to win that race.
Yeah, tab.com.au have already got the market out for the four semi-finals. He's going around in semi-final number one. Dinah Patty currently the favourite from box one at 210. Hasten Slowly, 350, along with My Redeemer. As you mentioned, he's come up with box six, so he's going to need to do everything right in the early stages. Just quickly touching on heat number two, which you mentioned earlier with Trit Trit and Black Forge. Black Forge, he's a high-speed greyhound. He's been really impressive up here at Wentworth Park. And then you did mention the Bendigo Cup run. It was a terrific run. I'm sure he'll strip fitter for that first 500-metre run down in Victoria on Saturday night.
Absolutely, and again, I mean, you've got to look at times. He went 30.06, which is a good time. And look, it was just that Trit Trit was too close to him. I mean, Trit Trit's a fantastic 600-metre greyhound. In fact, he's got a track record at Shepparton over the 660. We all know his strength. So he just got a little bit too close to him. So don't worry about Black Forge. I think he's certainly still right in contention in this series. You might be able to shed a little bit more light on how he'll go from a wider draw in the pink. He certainly handled a wide draw at Bendigo, but over the two turns, he's going to need to begin okay in what seems a pretty open semi-final, heat semi-two. Yeah, so he's got box eight. He's got a slow beginner in Hunker Papa drawn next to him. So he should be able to sit into a really nice position there on that first corner. And yeah, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he made it through to the big one on July 28th.
All right. Now, George, what else is happening there with the greyhounds?
In Victoria? Sorry, mate, just cut out a little bit.
Yeah, Tibby's just dropped out there for the moment.
Yeah, look. Thank God we're back at the Meadows. As I said, we'll hopefully get to see Tornado Tears and Rip and Sam and Co. go around in the Destiny Fireball Stayers race. As Tim touched on in the McKenna, it was, a surprise result. We were used to seeing Tornado Tears win. He's won so many in a row, but yeah, it was a great effort by Out of Rain. So of course that shifts here, and we've got the Shepparton Cup coming up, and then next month, as you know, we'll head into the National Sprint and National Distance Series at Sandown Park. So all the action probably heads toward Victoria in the next couple of months, which would be great. 3-week series, the Maturity, July 28th, the final, 100,000 to the winner, Sean. So yeah, we're looking forward to it. I think all the big guns got through to the semi-finals, probably apart from West on Augie, the West Australian Greyhound, who unfortunately fell at the first corner. He did get around safely at the end after that. But apart from that, I think all the big guns for semi-final night next Saturday, can't wait.
Yeah, George, well, just touching on Black Forge before I dropped out there, and you mentioned that he has drawn box number 8 in the semi on Saturday night. Aston Duke in that race has gone up favourite at $2.60, Black Forge $3.50, and then wider out to Baruga Bred at $4. You did mention Hunker Papa is a slow beginner drawn on his inside, and you touched on box 8. I can guarantee you he is beautifully drawn in box number 8. He's used the 8 at Wentworth Park really well a couple of times. So I think he's going to be a real contender in that race on Saturday night. I'm actually surprised he hasn't gone up favourite at $3.50. I'd be tipping our listeners into Black Forge on Saturday night, which is semi-final number 2 of the Maturity Classic. Aston Duke, another former New South Wales greyhound, he is at the favourite currently at $2.60. Now, we might just touch on him. He ran 13.18 leading all of the way in his heat, Aston Duke, George. Look, I was a little surprised at the time. I think he can improve on that. He's a greyhound. When he was here in New South Wales, he ran 29.60-odd winning at Wentworth Park in a heat of the Golden Easter Egg back in March. What did you make of Aston Duke?
Yeah, look, I thought it was a really good run. I thought he was one of the bets of the night. I thought he was in a heat that he was certainly capable of winning. Always liked them, Tim, when they come down from that group company. I mean, he'd made a numerous amount of group finals in his last 10 starts. And I just, going back to his own age, I thought his run was really good. Look, he did get a little bit tired, I suppose, running 30.19, and that might be the concern with him. I know he's flown around Wentworth Park, as you said, probably pound for pound over 500 metres. I'd have to agree with you. I think Black Forge might just have his measure, especially if he can begin cleanly. The beauty with Aston Duke, of course, as we know, is he's got lots of speed. There is a little bit of speed around him. That might be the only concern with Aeroplane India, of course, who defeated My Redeemer, and Gaudette drawn on his inside. Now, he's better than those two greyhounds, no doubt, but he's just got to get away cleanly. I know sometimes he's not always the cleanest beginner, Aston Duke, but when he hits the ground, his acceleration's outstanding. So I think you're probably right around the 350 mark for Black Forge in that semi-final.
With Baruga Brett, I just want to get your opinion on him. From what I've seen of him, he does like to get to the rails. He's drawn six in Black Forge's semi-final. So with a moderate beginner drawn underneath him in Hakapapa and then Baruga Brett in the six, who should probably give him a bit of room to move, I think he's ideally drawn out there. Have you got Baruga Brett down as a railer?
Yeah, look, I think he certainly will be sort of shifting left, not drastically, but he'll certainly be looking for the fence. And I don't think he's drawn well at all, Baruga Brett. Unfortunately, as we said, there's a little bit of speed drawn underneath him. He's not going to get to the front like he did in his heat, from what I can tell, if they race how we expect them to. And I think that just probably gives more credence to the chances of Black Forge from where he's drawn. He's going to have to begin cleanly, though, from box eight, as we know, and there's going to be a little bit of speed. So the last thing he wants is to be camped out wide. But, yeah, look, I think Baruga Brett certainly will be looking for the fence.
And I just wanted to touch on Orson Allen for Corey Grenfell. I thought he winning heat number three in a quick 29.90, that was a pretty tidy performance.
Yeah, it was, and it was probably one of the more talented lineups in the heat. So I thought it was a pretty tough race. And look, he had to guts it out a little bit. He certainly didn't have things his own way early. He really had to push hard on that first corner, which he did. He's starting to build up a really, really nice record at the Meadows. And he's drawn really, really well in his heat too. He's got box two in the semi-final, sorry. He's got box two. He's got Ella Enchanted next to him in three. She won't worry him early if he can begin cleanly. And then of the others in the race, I think Chief's Empire of box four is probably the one with the speed to go with him, and perhaps that's the Ninja. But Orson Allen, geez, when he gets things right, Tim, he can really run the hands off the clock. He won on debut at the Meadows in 29.81, and all his splits, all three, first, second, and run home, were outstanding. So I think he's drawn very well. Again, he had to do it tough winning a heat of the Bendigo Cup and go up against what was a terrific field that night, and he certainly handled himself well in fourth position. So he's starting to become a little bit seasoned now, I think, and I don't think he'll have a few admirers, that's for sure, come Saturday night.
Now, while we've got you online, now you are the owner of Striker Light, the Golden Easter Egg winner from last year, and she was gallant finishing runner-up this year, nailed on the line by Uphill Jill. Now, she won at Ballarat last week after contesting the Bendigo Cup Series. Now, when she step out again, is she heading toward the Nationals?
Yeah, she will. I think she's the highest-ranked Agra Greyhound, so hopefully we can get through to the final, because then you get a wild card in, regardless of where you finished in that state final. But, yeah, I think she's off to Sandown this Thursday night, just trying to step her back up over 500 metres, Tim, and get the fitness into her and probably have a crack at the Nationals, which would be absolutely fantastic considering you'll be on our home deck, which would be an advantage. But, yeah, no, she's coming back well after what was a hip support injury after winning the Warrnambool Cup. So we've just had to tread a little bit softly with her. I suppose her and Jill are getting to that age now, Tim, where injuries can catch up to them. I believe Jill's very close to a racetrack return as well. So it'll be good to see those two champs hit it off again. We've had some tremendous battles, but hopefully we don't meet for the next couple of starts until we get our fitness right up where it needs to be.
Now, our good pal Dave Carlson, he's still gallivanting all around the country on holidays. I'm taking a break from Friday this week, and I believe you're stepping into the studio next Monday to take care of going greyhounds.
Fair shoes to fill, Tim, following you two guys. But, yeah, look, hopefully we'll get some...
I don't know about that.
We'll get some trainers on the line for what will be the maturity and, of course, the Destiny Fireball. As we mentioned, we'll have heats of the Destiny Fireball stayers this Tuesday. So looking forward to that. And, yeah, hopefully we'll get some special guests in. And, yeah, Sean and I will carry the load while you guys have some fun.
Good work, George. Well, good luck next Monday and thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks. Thank you.
Now joining us online is Tom Daly. Tom is part of the Daly team who prepared three heat winners on Saturday night at the Meadows. Dinah Patty, 29.73. Dinah Zesty, 13.18. Aeroplane Indy, 30.02. Good morning, Tom. No doubt Dinah Patty, the best of the trio. She was just outstanding.
Yes, actually, she ran a good race. She came out running and got on the bunny and she kept going. She went good.
she really had to dig in, because when Ella Enchanted got into second position, George and I were just chatting about her. She is a very, very strong greyhound who has run 29.48 at Wentworth Park. And Ella Enchanted was taking ground off Dinah Patty late, but she really had to dig in and really put the runs on the board and the time on the board to hold off that greyhound.
Yeah, turning for home, I thought we might have been in a little bit of trouble, but she's not weak, she's strong. She comes home strongly at the Meadows, and as you said, she turned for home and she kicked and she held that dog off, which, and then looking at the time, she's come home nicely. Like I said, she's come out well as well, so she ran an all-round good race.
Now, she's drawn box number one in the semi-final on Saturday night, and she is the favourite. She's only had the red once in her career. That was two runs ago. She moves from box eight to box number one. Where would you prefer her drawn, inside or outside?
Probably outside, but not much you can do about it. She's drawn the red, but if she can come out like she came out last week, she should be right in the mix, but that was the best she's ever come out in her life. She came out running. She'll need to do that again Saturday night to get in a forward position. But she's racing well, so she's in there with a chance of winning the race.
Now, Aeroplane Indy staged a mini boil over, winning her heat. She defeated My Redeemer in 30.02. It was a PB for Aeroplane Indy. She's been racing well, but did that shock on Saturday night?
No, not really. She just keeps improving and improving. She's only had 20-odd starts or something like that. She just basically keeps on improving every time she goes around, and she's coming out of the boxes quickly these days, and she pings to the front. And My Redeemer was coming out a bit. He did get checked a couple of times, but she did hold him off. But then, like I said, she keeps coming out better each time and getting quicker. So I don't know how much quicker she can go, but she's improving every time. And so she's just turning into quite a nice bitch.
Now, she has drawn a pretty tough semi-final on Saturday night. She's come up with a four, rated at $8.50 chance with tab.com.au. Can she cause another boil over?
Well, if she comes out like she did Saturday night and can hit the front, well, you never know. She's no 29, 60 or 70 bitch, but if she can consistently run around 30 dead or something, if she's on the bunny, well, then they've got to get past her. So hopefully she can just come out like that again.
Now, the third of your winners, Dinah Zesty, ran 30.18. This is some training performance. She's been racing over the 600 and 700 metres in recent weeks, back to the 525 metres on Saturday night. She was really strong to the line.
Yeah, well, she didn't get a start in the McKenna Memorial. She was a reserve, and she was eligible for the maturity. So I thought, well, she's racing well, and she hasn't got an abundance of early pace, but she got checked at the first turn. But once she got to third, well, that was it. Every likelihood she was going to hold on for third at least and get through to the semis. But she got a clear run underneath both those dogs and powered away. So, yeah, she ran a very good race.
She's another one who hasn't fed well in the semi-final box draw. She's got box five, but her racing style, probably she's going to need luck anywhere she draws. So, look, she'll need a little bit of luck to feature in the money on Saturday night.
Yeah, correct. The box draw is really not that much of a major concern to her, because it's not like she's going to fly out. She'll need luck wherever she is, as you said. So we'll just have to see where she lobs around the first turn.
Goes without saying, Dinah Patty would be the strongest of the trio you've got in the semi-finals on Saturday night.
She's the fastest, and I would imagine that she'd be our best chance. Yeah, but I wouldn't discount the other two. They're both racing well, and ounce of luck they might make the final. But Patty would be our best chance.
Do you think she might get up over a little longer journey a little later in her career?
I do, but there's a number of races yet before we step her up. The way she races, I can't see any reason why she wouldn't run 600, and then we'd have to see how much further she could go after that.
Now, she's actually by your former champ, Fernando Bale. Does it give you an extra thrill training his progeny and seeing how well he's going at stud at the moment? He's had an incredible start to his stud career.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal dog. He was a sensation on the racetrack, and he looks like he might be the same at stud, he started off a little bit slow at stud, but all of a sudden he's just gone bang, and everything that goes around by Fernando seems to have ability and seems to win races. So he's sort of on the cusp of being a sensational stud dog as well.
Yeah, he really has had a remarkable start, and as you said, he's a freak on the racetrack, and at start, he is firing on all cylinders. Tom, thanks for joining us. All the very best on Saturday night with your trio, and hope they all race really well.
Good on you. Thanks, Tim.
Tom Daly there. He's part of the all-conquering Team Daly down in Victoria. And as I said, they've got three runners in the semi-finals. And the series favourite, Dinah Patty, sitting up in box one in the opening semi of the Maturity Classic on Saturday night. Now, joining us on the show now is John Smart. John trains out of Camden and has an emerging stayer in his kennel by the name of Cairns Anne. She was a brilliant winner at Weddy during the week, and I think she's a greyhound who is just beginning to hit a peak and race through her grades. And John's joining us online. Good morning, John.
How are you, Timmy?
Really well, mate. Now, Cairns Anne, she's always promised plenty, and she's beginning to put it all together now. She's run 42.35 in her latest victory at Wentworth Park, just her fourth run over the 700.
Mm. Yeah, she's been real good to us. She's always showed a fair bit of ability, like 30 and 37 at Richmond, and she's still immature and still going to be a fairly good dog when she puts it all together.
Yeah, from the breaking in stage, you did think she was potentially city class. From the early days, she always showed you something.
Yeah. She's always showed us a fair bit and just keeps on improving.
By Dinah Double One out of Asterix, Dad was a champ on the track, and Mum, she was really, really strong. She's always given the indication, Cairns Anne, that when she got up to the half mile, she would really excel, and that's what she's starting to do.
Yeah, for sure. And she's still a little bit immature, but when she saves out next year, she'll be a real top dog.
Now, you've taken it race by race at the moment. The Nationals are coming up. After that performance on Wednesday night, she's probably up there with the best stayers in New South Wales at the moment. Will you give her a chance in the Nationals?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's our aim at the moment. And we'll just kick her along from there.
Now, you've had some handy dogs in years gone by. Lovelace, comes to mind. She travelled to Melbourne. Melbourne and Brisbane. How does Cairns Anne, she raced over the journey. How does Cairns Anne compare to her?
I reckon Cairns Anne's a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, just in the early days, she's just showed us ability all the time, you know. Yeah. But Lovelace's favourite pet too. She's helped me out real big. Now I've got Cairns Anne, it's going along good.
Now, Cairns Anne is owned by a syndicate called the Quaddy Boys, managed by RaceNet's Clint Payne, and Sky's very own Paul Joyce is a part owner of Cairns Anne. Now, do they leave the training to you, or are they always on the phone? Is particularly Clint I'm talking about here.
Yeah, Clint,
is he giving directions on where
team
to go?
Clint, me and Clint work as a good team. He helps me out and guides me along a bit, and we work as a real good team.
He's a very good man. I know he likes looking at the programs, what's coming up, and where Cairns Anne might go to next. Now, John, there's a little great little backstory to you. You were heavily involved in the thoroughbred industry and worked for the Inghams and John Hawkes at Crown Lodge back in the 1990s.
Yeah, looked after a good horse called Doc Cagnell. Down at Crown Lodge with Peter Snowden and Johnny Hawkes. So Peter's sort of a guide on me. He's taught me a fair bit and just get down and hard at it. Yeah.
It was a golden era back then with Octagonal. What was probably your highlight with him? What was his greatest win? We remember the duels with Falante Shane, and
when Shane Dye took off in the Chippy Norton and Octagonal and Juggler was chasing him. Yeah, that was when the crowd went off.
Mm.
Yeah, unbelievable feeling. Now we're in.
And I remember one of the. As far as the greyhounds are concerned, John, is there anything you've brought over from the thoroughbred, you know, training aspects to greyhounds? Is there? I'm curious. Is there anything which are the same?
Well, it's all the same. It's 7 days a week and 110% into it. You know, no shortcuts. Got to do everything properly. You know, like just. It's all the same, really. A lot of work. Get a pretty guidance from Ray Webster. He keeps me on his feet and guides me along, too. I go out to East Place every afternoon and he helps me along with the dogs.
Even though you've got the... even though you've got the thoroughbreds you've worked in thoroughbreds in the past. You are a greyhound man. Your dad Ray, he trained for many years, and he had some really handy dogs. He won a biennial classic, which is now known as a Peter Mossman.
Yeah. He's we had a good dog called Country Travel. We were living at Kingsford in a house commission house, and Country Travel bought us the house at Narelle, and like he was unbelievable. And now had Lovelace. He's helped me out with my house, and now I've got Cam's van. Always had a handy dog, you know. But, I love it.
The way you're travelling, you might be buying at Potts Point next. If things are progressing with Cairns End, you never know, Johnny.
That's it.
Now, how many do you have in work? You've only got a handful in work.
Well, I've got two. I've got one of my mate's dogs. I've got just two dogs. I've got Lovelace at home. She's retired on inside on the house. And six pups by Basha Bale. Yeah.
Oh, really? And how old are those pups?
Those pups are 14 weeks old. So I've got them in the backyard too. Yeah, but it's looking good in the pipeline.
That's great to hear, John. Well, all the very best with Cairns Anne if she continues the way she is going at the moment. I'm sure she's going to develop into one of the best stayers here in New South Wales, and hopefully she might make it to the Nationals in the next month or so and then contest the feature races all around the country in the next 12 to 18 months. Thanks for coming on the show, John.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye.
Johnny Smart there. As I said, Sean, he's got a handy one in Cairns End in the kennel, and it's a great little backstory with John, having worked for John Hawkes and the Inghams at Crown Lodge in the 90s, and he's a handy galloper to have something to do with Octagonal. I think at the time, what was 96, I was about 18 at the time, and you just remember all of those fantastic races with Falante, Nothing Like a Dane, and Octagonal. They were the days. That was a golden era with those thoroughbreds. And it's great. I only found that out a couple of months ago, that John had something to do with Oki and worked for Crown Lodge. And I thought we had an opportunity to chat about Cairns End and also touch on what he's done in the past. So as I said earlier on, I'm on a break as of Friday this week, and Disco's still away, so George will jump into the chair next Monday. It's been a bit of fun over the past couple of weeks. Hopefully we've found a winner or two for our listeners, and we'll be back on deck. I'll be back on deck on Wednesday night at Wentworth Park. So I hope everyone has enjoyed the show.